But I'm glad you're here. I want you to notice that I don't compromise very often, but I have compromised tonight. I have taken the Ohio State pin and I have put it in my lapel, and I did that so I have something to repent of at the invitation. So Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 41. Now I'm going to be really honest with you. This will be the only time during the preaching I'll be honest with you. If you take your shoes off, if you get comfortable, it's not even worth it. Because if you don't pay attention, you are so going to miss the sermon. Because I'm not even stopping for acknowledgments. I'm just going to head right down the path and let's just preach and get it done. And Leviticus chapter 23, verse 41, let's all stand. Brother Bell, thank you. Other than this acknowledgement, because he gives the love offering. And thank you very much. And love this church, love the family. And that's my mom and dad. I am the third son of George Bell. And that's all there is to it. So Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 41. By the way, I didn't get a Christmas present. Neither did they. Okay, all right. All right. And my brothers don't care about me. They sent me nothing on my birthday. So anyway, so Leviticus chapter 23 and verse number 41. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord, 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generation. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths, not booze. So don't take that literal right there. Don't stop by the store tonight and say, I'm just obeying Leviticus 23:42. Because you can only dwell there 7 days. And ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel. You can turn them out just a tad, Brother Matt. That your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths. Look at this phrase. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. Amen. That little phrase right there is my text, is my title. Out of the land of Egypt. And I want you to pay attention and let me kind of preach to you and let me kind of do my part here tonight, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, so much work that has to be done tonight. The choir has already and the singing groups have already laid the groundwork. Lord, they sang going in and they sang going out. No one can read your word from cover to cover without seeing music in the Bible. God, you meant for it to be a vehicle, a mode to articulate what our hearts feel. Lord, I don't believe that people who write music are inspired by the Holy Ghost to write, but I do believe that there's inspiration of the Almighty that lives on the inside, that they're able to write songs that all of us can identify with and that excite us. God, I ask you now to please bless. I pray that you bless Brother Tony to come in just a couple of moments. May you give him your power from on high as you did last night and you did this morning. Lord, in years to come, the people in this auditorium may forget who the messengers were, but God, help them never to forget the message. Amen. Because God, that is why we're here. Amen. It's nice to shake hands. It's nice to fellowship. It's nice to catch up and see old friends. But Lord, none of us knew who was going to be here tonight. We just knew the house of God was open. Amen. And that there was preaching and singing going on. And God, to have friends here is just an added blessing. Meet with us tonight, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'll give you a chance to get situated. And I know how that goes. You have to sit down and make sure everything is right where it needs to be. I could have used over 200 other passages of Scripture tonight to start off with. But I want you to focus on that one phrase that you would find 200 other times. When I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I am the Lord your God. Take your Bibles if you don't mind, and let's go to Exodus chapter 12. I want to read for you the story of the ending of what it was like at the very end when God brought them out. And I want you to look at it. Exodus 12, 41 and verse number 42. Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. And it came to pass, look at this, at the end of the 430 years, 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord, look at this, went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed of all the children of the generation of all the children of Israel in their generation. Look right up here, please. After that wonderful day of deliverance out of Egypt, the land of Egypt was always a reference point in the history of the children of God. When God would review the history of the children of God, He would always throw in that point someplace when they were in bondage, when they were slaves, when they were eating the world's menu, and they were drinking of the world's drink. He would always throw in that point how that He, the Lord God, Jehovah, miraculously, single-handedly, and powerfully brought them out of a state of slavery, and how that He, all by Himself, broke the chains of bondage to the Egyptians and Pharaoh. It was He that parted the Red Sea. It was He that made the Red Sea come back together. It was He that led them during the day and led them by night. It was He that fed them with manna. It was He that set up the deliverance. God was continually reminding them of who, all capital letters, it was that brought them out of bondage. Egypt being a type of the world, but we live in a day and time where many people are confused with who is ultimately responsible for turning their life around. Tonight, I want to shout praises to God for bringing me from where I was to where I am. I want to remember the days when I was rebellious. I want to remember those times when my heart was cold. I want to remember when I did not respond to the preaching, I did not respond to the singing, and how God, all by Himself, single-handedly reached down inside the soul of a rebellious 17-year-old and brought me out. God may have used many people and places along the way, but may I always look past the person and may I always look past the place to the throne of mercy and grace and to thank the Lord for His guiding hand. In Exodus chapter 32, when Moses was on the mount receiving instructions from God, from the God of Israel, the people decided that he had been up there too long and he delayed. Look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 1, if you don't mind. Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us what? Gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, and then look what they gave tribute to. This man Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt. The Jews were convinced that it was a man that brought them out of the land of Egypt. There's nothing wrong with honoring a man. There's nothing wrong with being grateful. There's nothing wrong with writing a thank you card. But when all you see is the man that led you out of Egypt, then you're blinded by man. There's only one person that could reach down into this heart. And there's only one person that could take me and change me. And that is God who brought me out of the land of Egypt. Never ever give the credit to a man for changing your life or bringing you out from where you were and making you what you are. God's the only one that brought you out of Egypt. God's the only one that orchestrated the map. God's the only one that knew how to part the Red Sea. God's the only one that could take care of the plagues. God's the only one that could give light when there was darkness. God is the only one that could bring frogs. God is the only one that could bring lice. It wasn't Moses that was bothering Pharaoh. It was God that was bothering Pharaoh. Thank every man. Be kind to every man. But for every letter you write, spend 5 hours in prayer, praising God for loving you enough to bring you out of the land of Egypt. I believe the reason that God removes leaders in your life is because you start worshiping the leader more than you do the God. Let me say that one again. When a church starts worshiping the pastor more than they start worshiping God, God will make sure that that pastor is now removed. The only connect I have with the people of the Longview Baptist Temple is that I keep lifting up God. They keep praising God. I keep lifting up God. They keep praising God. I keep lifting up God. They keep praising God. I don't care if I get a pat on the back as long as they love God. I don't care if I get a raise as long as they love God. I don't need a good sermon this morning, Pastor, as long as they walk out being a people that realize it was God that brought me out. I had to learn this lesson early on in my preaching career. I had been a youth pastor for 3 months, 19 and a half, and a man that was very responsible for one of the people outside of my God and humanly my father and another preacher, my youth pastor. 3 months, he decided God wanted him to go start a church in the St. Louis area. My dad asked him, who do you recommend to take your spot? I've been married for 3 months. Had just graduated from college, and my youth pastor said, Bob would make a good one. Bob could do the job. I remember my dad called me at home, and he said, Bob, I need to talk to you. Went up to the church, and he said, Brother Kip's leaving to go pastor a church in St. Louis, and I'm recommending that you become the youth pastor. Can I tell you something? Don't put a 19-year-old... in charge of teenagers. Chris, how old are you?
I'm 24 now.
Good. Now. I love that. Amen. And so 3 months went by. My dad walked into my office 3 months later, and he sat down on the couch, and he said, Bob, we need to talk. And he told me the story about my youth pastor being immoral with one of the teenage girls, and that's why he felt God led him to go start a church. They called him back, and we all met in the conference room with the deacons, and he had to stand and tell the deacon board who ordained him to the church that ordained him exactly what he did. And I had to sit there and watch what I thought was my hero turn his ordination papers in, as every good preacher should do once he messes up. He slid them ordination papers to the center of the table. And he said, Preacher, talking to my father, deacon board, I have forfeited my right for the ordained ministry. I sat at the end of that table and I wept. As he was walking out, he looked at me in the last conversation we had. And he said, Bob, please listen to me. The God I told you about all these years, he's the one responsible for a change in your life. I was just a temporary man in your world. Please listen to me. It wasn't a man that brought you out of Egypt. If your life's different right now, God uses men. But when you worship the signature in your Bible more than the pages beyond the signature, then you are stealing from the glory that only God could get. Brother Tony and I were talking about this in the back of the auditorium. Let me tell you something. God will share his power with you. God will share his presence with you. God will share his resources of heaven with you. He will share the cattle on 1,000 hills to keep you going. But God will not share his glory. And God made sure that even into the New Testament, when he told about the history of Israel, that he said, I'm the one that brought you out of Israel. Don't worship the Moses in your life. Appreciate the Moses. Give honor to whom honor is due. But where you give them this honor, you make sure you jump up and down and you give God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It's pretty sad that we can't get excited about God until it's our favorite preacher preaching. It's pretty sad that we can't enjoy a special unless it's our favorite soloist singing. It's pretty sad that we judge a conference based on who's on the lineup. Let me tell you something. I don't care if it's the weakest among us that are going to get up and talk about God Almighty. Somebody better be sitting out there and somebody better be saying amen. Out of Egypt. Who brought you out of Egypt? Ma, he may have used mama, but God brought you out. He may have used a preacher man, but God brought you out. That preacher man didn't know enough about you to hit every sin in your life. That preacher man didn't know what was going on in your world. That preacher man didn't know what your home life was. That preacher man doesn't have cameras everywhere you go, and he's not recording everything you do. But there's a God in heaven that knows you, and he'll use the mouth of a man. Before you mouthpieces get too riled up about who you are, always remember this. He used the mouth of a donkey to get across his word. When he went to the car lot of people to speak for him, he pulled a donkey to speak. But the people made this mistake when Moses delayed. They said, what happened to our man who brought us out? If your leader were taken from your life, would your life collapse like theirs did? If a leader delayed, would your life collapse? The true test of a good church is when the preacher's not in the pulpit. The lowest attendance should not be on the day that the preacher says, by the way, I won't be here this Wednesday night. I'm going on vacation. And then everybody goes, good, I don't have to come to the house of God. Let me tell you something. It is the house of God, not the house of Bob. Out of the land of Egypt, God used Moses to bring him out. But God said, I'm the one who brought you out. When they stopped worshiping Moses and Moses delayed and they no longer had a leader to worship. Go to Exodus chapter 32, stay there. And when the people saw that Moses delayed, you know what happened. They said, this man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. Look at verse 2. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. And after he had made it a molten calf, look at it, they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You know what they did? They went from giving credit to the man for bringing them out. Then they gave credit to the vehicles that brought them out. Them calves and them oxen pulled them carts. All their belongings were hooked up and them oxen treaded out. They brought them out. You don't bring out 3 million people without having a lot of U-Hauls. But where there's oil on the path of a U-Haul, could you imagine what was on the path of a bunch of donkeys? That's when you say, I want at the front of the bus tonight. I'm not walking back there. It stinks back there. But you know what the Israelites did? Their carnality started showing when a golden calf came out and they said, oh, the gods that took us out of Egypt. God uses vehicles, but when we start worshiping a camp more than we do God, when we start worshiping a college more than we do God, when we start worshiping a conference more than we do God, you don't need Faith Harbor, you need God. You don't need some big regional conference, you need God. It's not if I can get to Columbus, Ohio, something's going to happen at Faith Harbor. You get to Columbus, Ohio, somebody's going to be preaching the book about a God that can make something happen. Camp, just a vehicle. College, just a vehicle. Conference, just a vehicle. A convention, just a vehicle. The vehicle's not to be worshipped. The God that moved in that vehicle is to be worshipped. We're fashioning our music to touch people. We're fashioning our programs to touch people. We are fashioning our giveaways to touch people. We are fashioning the atmosphere to touch people. When we totally forget that it's not the atmosphere, it's not the program, it's not the songs, it's not the piano, it's not the organ, it is God Almighty that brings us out. There is no orchestration of music that could ever change a heart. Because music sung without a God is a performance. It's hollow. It's weak. It's revolting. It's insulting. It's idiotic. But you let a God reach down. And you let a God get in a song. And you let God get in a sermon. And you let God show up at a meeting. If you walk away from this meeting talking more about Faith Harbor than you do the God who showed up at Faith Harbor, then you've made the same mistake the Israelites made. We have a college at our place. The last thing I've told the college students the last 4 years before they go home, if you utter one word about Texas Baptist College when you're at home this summer and you talk more about TBC than you do about the God you found at TBC, then don't come back in the fall, because we're not worshiping the vehicle, we are worshiping the God Almighty. Out of the land of Egypt. I'm glad where I graduated from, but I'm even more gladder. Not good English, good preaching. I'm gladder. That God moved down at my heart. Sitting in the back of Triple S Christian Ranch, I'm sitting there. Glenn Riggs is preaching, and he's preaching on cheese, why he doesn't like cheese. I could really care less why Glenn Riggs doesn't like cheese. But there was a God in heaven at that camp that reached down and changed my life. I don't bow down to Rosebud, Arkansas, but I sure bow down to the God. Sure bow down to that God who used that camp to touch my life. Do I have fond memories? Absolutely. But I have fonder memories of my God. Because you see, I can't always live in Rosebud, Arkansas. I can't always take the people who have influenced me back to my house. But I can take the God who influenced me out of the land of Egypt. God used Moses, but Moses was not to be worshipped. God used the calves, but they were not to be worshipped. God brought you out so that he could spend time with you. Listen to this, please. Leviticus 26:12, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. Listen to this. That ye should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Amen. Coming through, I saw the Yoder girl talking to the Graber guy. And I could tell written all over his face was, I really wish we could go talk someplace other than here. People are walking by making smart cracks, and I could see it written all over their faces. We're in like or love or whatever they're allowed to be. And I could tell he was sitting there going, I wish you people would leave me alone. I just want to stare deep into her eyes. I want to spend time with her. You know, the prayer for every single girl is, dear God, please don't come. Brother Tony was talking about God coming. Every single girl, God, please don't come. Don't listen to Brother Tony. Their prayer is, God, you cannot come. I still have to get married. I want to kiss at the altar in front of everybody, and it's legal, and they can't do anything about it. I want to get married. But you know what old women's prayer is, don't you? Dear God, come right now. What have you been waiting on? But as he looked into her eyes, I know what they're thinking. I just want to find some place where it's just me and you. Let me tell you something. The children of Israel, 430 years, were in the land of Egypt, bondage. You know what God kept saying? We got to get out of here. Because I want to look deep into your eyes. I want us to spend some time together. He didn't bring you out so you could run and hug on the preacher. He didn't bring you out so you could come down here and lay on the altar. He brought you out so you and him could walk together and talk together and walk the stars and walk the hills and get alone. The most precious time you'll ever spend is in the morning when you get alone with God and you're just there all by yourself and it's you and God. He didn't bring you out to be a groupie of a man. He brought you out to be his groupie, his fan club. Out of the land of Egypt. He brought you out so he could walk with you and hug on you. You know, I've told teenagers a long time, if you find a girl that's always man crazy and they have to go get themselves a man, it's because they don't have a good relationship with their father. When a father fills that void, they don't need a man. Until it's time to get married. Please listen to me. We're the bride. You won't need this world as long as you're hugging on Christ. Because we're inching our way to the marriage, bless God. And one day that trumpet's going to sound, and then it's all going to be over. Look at me and listen to me. He wants to spend time with you. And the reason you got to have all the junky music and the junky pornography and the junky movies and all the junky stuff is because you're not loving on the Father. Once you love on the Father, let Him bring you out of Egypt. That's why most people don't stay out of Egypt. Isn't it incredible? They said, what to God, we had died in the land of Egypt. Died in the land of Egypt. Do you remember what your forefathers went through as slaves? God said, I brought you out of slavery so you and I could hug and kiss and love on each other. And that's not dirty talk. That's spending time with God. It ought not to evoke sensual thoughts. It ought to make you go to the heavenlies and say, I can't wait to spend time with Him. He brought you out to hug on you. He brought you out, Leviticus 23:43, that your generation may know, don't turn there, just listen to it, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. He not only brought you out to hug on you, but He brought you out so you could look at your children. Come here, Kieran. You look at your children. There was a day, son, when your daddy was in the land of Egypt. God brought me out. Well, where'd you go to college at, Dad? That's not important. God brought me out. Well, what kind of conferences are we in? It doesn't matter. God brought me out. You see, He brought us out so that we could tell our children, God brought me out. Let me tell you what your daddy was before God brought me out. I was in bondage. I was a slave. They had me making bricks. I had a taskmaster. And then one day, the runner came and said, we're out of here. Put the blood on the doorpost. Pack up what you got. We're out of here. Our children won't be able to come out because they're living in the 70s men and the 70s wagons, and we don't even let them understand. God may have used them back there, but it's your generation, and God brought some of me out. God's going to bring you out. Well, I have nothing against the older generation. I have nothing against those people that mean a lot to me. They have totally changed my life because God used them to change my life. You say, Brother Bob, how have you sustained failure? By those you looked up to. It's very simple. They were nothing but signposts. Go that way, son. That's God. Have a seat. He brought you out so He could hug on you. He brought you out so you could kind of keep it going and tell people about it. He brought you out, and I'm done. He brought you out so that you could have a good land. He just didn't bring you out to suffer. He just didn't bring you out to exist. In the land of Egypt, you were a slave. In the land of Canaan, you're the master. In the land of Egypt, you didn't even own your own house. In the land of Canaan, you get to own your own home. In the land of Egypt, you were in bondage. In the land of Canaan, you get to live in freedom. In the land of Egypt, you ate garlics, leeks, were your only choice on the menu. In the land of Canaan, you got clusters of grapes so big, it's going to take a couple of men to carry them out. You got rivers that flow with milk and honey. In the land of Egypt, you were always the victim. In the land of Canaan, you're the conqueror. God didn't bring you out to sit there and frown. God brought you out. Do you realize what He did in the land of Canaan? And I'm a true believer that the 430 years were nothing more than to let the heathen build the cities, let the heathen clear the land, let the heathen put in the central air and heat, let them put in the touch conveniences, because when He brought them out, He said, I already got everything set for you right over there. Those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, life's hard for you. Right now you're like, would you shut up and sit down? Can I tell you something? God brings you out of the land of Egypt so He can give you a good land. Three things and I'm done. Number one, let God bring you out of the land of Egypt. If you're still in the land, and you're still a slave, and you're sitting here going, how come I can't live that way? Let God bring you out.
Yes,
number two, if God has brought you out, then you make sure you give God
Amen.
The glory.
Amen.
Send a thank you card. There's nothing wrong with that. But spend an hour in prayer for every thank you card you send. If you get more excited over performance than God, something's got to be wrong. God brought you out. How many could attest there was a time when I was in Egypt? Would you raise your hand? Absolutely. Put your hand down. How many, God used a man during a preaching time to kind of show you the light and bring you out? Would you raise your hand? Oh, yeah. How many, God used a place, a gathering, a preaching place to bring you out of the land of Egypt? Come on now. There you go. Let me tell you something. Every time your heart gets stirred, if you think more about the man and the place than you do the God, praise Him. Third thing's this. Let God use you to bring other people out. Do you know who the favorite preachers are in my life? Are not those who talk more about themselves. It's those who talk more about God. When a text is tailored to the man instead of tailored to God, then it's a short-lived sermon. It will only live till the amen. Then after that, nobody ever references it ever again. This morning when I woke up on the phone late last night, you know the first thing hit my head when I was in prayer? I had to kneel down next to a river. And I took the truth he preached last night and I had to take that basket and I had to kind of shove it out there and say, God, you've got to take this. You see, when the preaching becomes about the individual, that doesn't happen. But when God reaches down, God gives you a little bit of Him through His Word, then it so tattoos your soul that you just sort of walk away going, I'm so full. And you're like a spiritual cow, if I could end on this. When I stand before the Lord, all these songs that say I want to see Peter and John and my mama, the angels, my Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's the one I want to see. I want to see the one who thought enough about me not to kill me. I want to see the one who loved me enough through my stupidity to keep me safe, so that he could lead me by the hand and say, Bob, I got a good land. Got a woman waiting for you over there. I got three beautiful children waiting for you over there. I got a grandbaby waiting for you over there. I'm living the American dream because he brought me out of the land of Egypt. God bless you.